Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I started a new teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching will be an in-depth study of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our own communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior. If we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a living epistle of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. If you are not with us from the beginning of this teaching or would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We started examining the sins of the sinful nature as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21, when I ran out of time. Let's complete our examination of sexual immorality. I will reread my definition from the New Webster Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Sexual immorality, as defined by the dictionary, says sex that is not moral, not conforming to accepted patterns of what is considered right and wrong behavior. It is lewd, wicked, obscene, and indecent. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, including sexual morality, the act must be in accordance with God's word, not what society says is right or wrong. We read last week that practicing and approving of sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and being unmerciful are not from God. And those living in such perversion will not inherit the kingdom of God. However, practicing and approving of these abominations continue to spread unchecked today. For example, in the United States, many states have accepted and implemented marriage laws that recognize homosexual marriages. In October 2020, the LGBT supporters began celebrating Pride Month to recognize, among other things, their ungodly sexual orientations. TV programming, advertising, and movies now include homosexual couples and other immoral sex themes. I have seen advertised programs that promote lewd sex, such as Beyond the Pole, The Bachelor, Love After Lockup, and Cheaters, among many others. It may not seem troubling to us because we can avoid viewing this type of programming by switching the channel. But what about our children who are taught in school about these alternative lifestyles and others who are easily persuaded to watch and then imitate such behavior? Our first defense and action should be to train up our children in the way they should go and live our lives in accordance to our God's holy word. We are the light of the world, and we must push darkness out by being a living epistle. Our love and desire to save God's creation must start at home and then into our communities and beyond. Let's continue with the second sin listed under the sinful nature. Once again, I will be taking my definition from the New Webster Dictionary. The second sin that we will examine is impure thoughts. It means of an inferior or contaminating nature, foul, unsuitable, or objectionable elements or characteristics, not morally pure, unchaste, corrupt thoughts, ideas, views, or opinions. Christians, we must always measure what is right or wrong based on God's holy word. And remember that our thoughts precede our actions. In my teaching titled The Battle in Your Mind, Staying Sexually Pure, I address this issue in detail. In short, whatever we have been dwelling on, thinking on, obsessing on, that is what will direct our actions. That is why the scriptures tell us to be careful what we hear and what we see, because these senses feed into our mind and formulate thoughts, good or bad, which will eventually direct our actions. Let us read some supporting scriptures from God's Word. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible for the following scriptures. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." Now, I'm going to let you know right now that something may be true, but it's not noble, it's not just, it's not lovely, it's not a good report, it is not praiseworthy. So don't think on those things. Here's an example. Sally Sue had an adulterous affair with Jim. That's not just, lovely, noble, a good report, or praiseworthy. So don't dwell on those kind of thoughts. Don't pass on that kind of information. It does not bring anyone anything good. So we have to be very careful what we think on. Again, because our thoughts lead to actions. Let's continue with the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. We're talking about impure thoughts. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, to build up, not tear down, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor," that means loud and confused noise, "and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Last verse, verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Family, we are going to have to pursue kindness and be tenderhearted and forgiving. So when you hear or witness something that does not edify and build up the body of Christ, do not continue to spread such information. It is not praiseworthy. So you don't want to be a tool or vessel that Satan can use to cause disruption and discord among the brothers. Again, I want to reread verse 32 because these are our marching orders, Christians. It says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I love that, because when you think on what you did in the past and the mess that you were in, myself included, before we were Christians, and how God forgave us so willingly and merciful, it is easy to forgive. So put that in motion, family. All right, let's go on to our third scripture talking about impure thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse number 4. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil." Thinks no evil. Last verse, verse number 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Those are things that are immoral, but rejoices in the truth. Family, Christians, we must rejoice in the truth of God's word. Whatever God says is what we should be saying. Whatever God thinks, those are the things that we should be thinking on. Whatever God does, those are the things that we should be doing. And as a result of thinking, doing, we will get the results that God gets. Amen. So we need to stop watching or hearing any form of impure conversations or music that promote ungodly thinking. Music was originally created to worship our Heavenly Father, and Lucifer, aka Satan, was responsible for worshiping our living God through music. He was the master musician, beautifully adorned. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel and read what God has to say about who Satan was. I will once again read from the New King James Bible translation. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. We'll be reading verses 11 through 15. Verse 11 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Very precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." Satan was created perfect for a purpose, and that was to worship the Lord, the living God. However, we know from Scripture that he went against God, and as a result, was taken from the heavenlies and sent down in his iniquity, so that he no longer had that anointing that was once given to him for purposes of worshiping our living God. Therefore, it is no wonder why Satan has been so successful in perverting music and directing the worship to man and his lust instead of the living God. Now, I'm bringing this up because today some rap music is so profane and degrading toward females that, in my opinion, it is of no value to the listener. In fact, when I was ministering in the juvenile detention centers in California, I would often counsel my young people not to listen to such music to keep them from referring to themselves and others as the B word, the H word, and other debased adjectives. We know that faith comes from hearing, so the more you hear these lies about yourself, the more you will believe the lies, accept the lies, and act out in the lies. More recently, Satan is attacking our children at a younger age. I had a short conversation with one of my nieces recently, and while we were on the telephone, her son of 9 years of age came to her to tell on his cousin. His cousin was singing a song by a rapper that he was told was not appropriate for him to listen to. My niece told me that the rapper her son was referring to has written songs whose lyrics she finds offensive and inappropriate for children to hear. However, this rapper is now being promoted in a cartoon form and children's music. So the children are learning his songs and singing them. We as parents must pay close attention to what our children are listening to and what they are repeating out loud. That is our responsibility and obligation to our loved ones. Here is the solution. We have received in Jesus a spiritual armor that should never be taken off. It is what keeps Satan from being successful against us. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, the Bible tells us that Satan's weapons will be formed against us, but they will not prosper. And they will not prosper because our armor is intact. Keeping our armor intact is our responsibility. God has already completed all the work he's going to do in Jesus. It is our responsibility to study God's word, to find out about our rights in Jesus, and then apply them to our life. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that our armor contains six pieces, which should never be taken off. They are the truth, righteousness, peace, faith, God's word, and salvation. Don't take them off. And to make sure that there is no misunderstanding, the way you take off this armor is by being disobedient to God's word. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read verses 10 through 17 from the New King James Bible. Verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Last verse, verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Family, it is important for us to stay focused on our assignment, and that is to keep the word of God as a covering. Don't forget, we have the truth. We have righteousness. We have the peace of God. We have the kind of faith that changes the circumstances of life. We have salvation. So we are well equipped to stand against Satan and his deceptions. All right, family, let's continue with the next sin, which is eagerness for lustful pleasure. Lustful means depraved or unlawful sexual craving or appetite, intense longing or passionate desire, an eagerness to possess or enjoy, as lust for money, marked by strong desires full of lewd sexual desire or appetite. This eagerness for lustful pleasure is a sin unto God. And we are hearing more and more about women being raped, about incest, adultery, fornication, homosexual and bisexual lifestyles, and all of it is an abomination unto God. The act of sex was created by God for the enjoyment of mankind in the confine of marriage between one man and one woman. Sexual intercourse is pleasurable, and it is intended to bring the husband and wife ecstasy and gratification. And for you listeners who have experienced sex, know this to be true. It is through this covenant union that the husband and wife become one and are able to birth healthy children for the next generation. So why is there so much sexual depravity and greed for money today? We only need to look at God's word to know that Satan is behind it all. He cannot create, but Satan will pervert what God has given to man for good. Satan has convinced many that as long as what you are doing feels good to your body and promotes your personal agenda, you should go ahead and do it. However, the mind and body unchecked will kill us graveyard dead. You can find that comment in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. It is the responsibility of each Christian to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and ultimately submit to God's word. Let's start with reading about the lust for money or greed. Please turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I'm sorry, family. I'm looking at my time and my time is up. Please return next week as we continue our study of Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the born again spirit.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.